You have to let it all go, Neo. Fear, doubt, and disbelief.
Join Daniel to discuss all things nerdy to all things pop culture. You're listening to Master Bates.
This is a fun conversation.
Well, hello, hello. Happy humps and dumps, everyone. We are back with the Master Bates podcast. It's been a week. Getting through it. I think we've discussed these, but go get them. They're the iced tea Truly. Having one or two tonight. While I'm going to a pizza party tomorrow with my friend. I'm a semi-coworker, and I feel like I always forget how rude it is. People are my friends and coworkers. Like, I will say first, like, out in public, like, this is my coworker, and it was my one friend. She's like, stop calling me like Sam, your friend, because I didn't realize how it sounded. I don't know why initially I thought saying coworker would mean we're closer, but now I kind of get it, because then it seems like, yeah, I don't want to be out here with this person, but you know, she's the old coworker. But yeah, so we're having a pizza party at my friend's house. Very low key, but I was preparing some pizza toppings, which no one cares about, but I made like spicy butter garlic mushrooms, caramelized onions for like 2 hours, made those somehow really fucking spicy, and then like I soaked banana peppers in chili powder. I put like chili powder in the vinaigrette, and like so it could soak in that. So we're just gonna blow our assholes off tomorrow night, which I'm looking forward to it. And I want to make with the mushrooms. I take the mushrooms, so we're getting just like dough from like Publix or Harris Teeter, and she has her brother-in-law bought them a pizza oven for their wedding. Because they have people who care about them. Because I don't have a pizza oven. But you buy this store-bought dough, you roll it out. And then just on one half of it, put a bunch of like those buttery mushrooms. Then crumble feta or goat cheese in there. Put the caramelized onions, cheese. And then you wrap that bad boy. You just put the other half over top, and then make sure you around the edges, like roll it with just your fingertips, and then don't fucking forget, you take a knife and put like 3 slits on the top of it, bake it in the oven, like, I don't know, probably like 425 for like 10 minutes or so, 12 minutes, and dip that, like cut into strips and dip that bad boy in a marinara. And you got yourself a stromboli that you don't want to fuck with. I mean, you do. I guess that's why I said a recipe you're not asking for. But yeah, I'm going to hopefully make one of those tomorrow. Those bitches won't know what hit them. Anyways, I'll let you know how it turns out. But we have a kind of a longer... I don't know how long it'll be today, but I want to do our humps and dumps, and then just to set this up, then just some current events, stuff I've found this week, and then I found, which I'm excited about, what makes a person creepy. It's a scientific study on creepiness and creep factors that this psychologist did a study on, which I think is wildly interesting, but... Oh, and so sorry for the last podcast. I'm going to try with the and the likes. You have to remember I took like a long hiatus from doing this. So I'm trying to get back in the flow of, you know, the weekly enunciating and thinking about what I'm actually gonna say. So, yeah, let's get into my favorite beginning of each show.
Humps and Dumps.
Hey everyone, hope you're enjoying the Masturbates podcast. Don't forget about the Masturbates clothing line. It's an inclusive line with fun pride gear or gear just to wear out to have fun with friends. Check it out and let me know. It's at master-bates.myshopify.com. Let me know what you think and enjoy the rest of the show. Okay, and I'm trying to be positive this week, except when I give the dumps and complain. But I will start with my humps of the week. My humps, they is dedicated to my special someone who sent me flowers and a card and chocolate-covered strawberries and a teddy bear and balloons, which was really sweet. And then this morning, that was yesterday, and then this morning, I go to my mailbox, I get a card from my stepmother. It just says on the front, "Dan, I am so proud of you." And on the inside said, "Just want to let you know I'm so proud of you. Love every, like, love how much you believe in, like, yourself and how you're so strong with your beliefs and just happy to be part of my life." So it's like 7 a.m. this morning. I'm just in my car crying. It was really sweet. It just something else to turn my long week around. And it's just, I don't hear that a lot. And it's really nice to hear it. But I have lately heard it a good amount. Like, my brother told me last week he was proud of me. And just, fuck it, people, just say something nice to someone, like, today. Just one thing to one person. And I think sometimes when you think about how easy it is to do it, it's almost weird if you look back and you wonder, like, how few times you actually do it for how easy it is. Anyways, I'm not a guru. It's just, I try to always say nice things to people, but I guess I balance it where I like to fuck with people too. But yeah, anyways, that was really nice. Now to go into my dumps to really bring it down. And the girl who, I hope she doesn't listen anymore, because the dumps is about her. If this cuts off halfway through, it's because she knows when I'm talking about her. So she will fucking, like, jump through my window because she's going to know I'm telling this story and she's going to be pissed. But we're real, real friends like that. So we'll get over it. But it was her birthday party last weekend. And I think this summer, I think I have, on the weekend, gone out probably 4 times. Just with COVID and just kind of no one to really go out with or to go to places I like with. Because I kind of took a stand on not going to places I don't want to go anymore. Well, for someone's birthday, sometimes you make compromises. But so she had a dinner at this very trendy sushi place, and she's gonna fucking kill me. And she invited, like, I think she invited 25 people, which I don't know if anyone else back starts sweating when they hear about that many people, but mine does. But that's okay, that's what she likes. And my birthday dinner, I had, I think, 8 people, and that was, I think that was, it was a good amount, but I'm very much now with people, it's like, okay, you come from a dinner. I think it took like an hour and a half. If people wanted to go out with me after, it's fine. If they didn't, I get it. You gave me some time. I'm happy. Well, I think when we got there for dinner, only 8 of us showed up of like the 20-something people so far. And I don't know. We got there at 8. And then we had like 2 long tables. But by like 8:40, barely anyone showed up still. So they gave away the other table. And then they had one server on like 3 tables of 20 people. Because there's probably a staff shortage there like there is everywhere else. And it was fucking hot. So I'm just sitting there sweating. And no one's bringing any water or drinks. So I'm just like fanning myself and soberly fanning myself. And I even tried pre-gaming. So it just like, I left at 10 or 10:15. Because I didn't even order food. But by the time it was 10 o'clock and there was still no food for anyone. And I had 2 drinks in 2 hours. And if anyone knows me, that is not my MO. But, and then I guess all the wrong orders started coming because I had already left. But, and I was going, it just would have been a really lame way to catch COVID if I got it. And, like, there weren't enough chairs, so people were, like, standing kind of. And that makes me anxious. I know it's a me problem, but it's just, like, when I see people, like, standing up, it's like, here, take my seat, I'll just leave. And, like, meet up with you later or something. But then I think she was mad and she didn't tell me where she was later. So, but anyways, it was a nice social anxiety moment I haven't experienced in a while, especially since I think I've only gone out to eat like four times since things opened back up. But anyways, happy birthday, Lacey. I hope it was great. And I got her 2 cute gifts, okay? She loves bathing and drinking, so I got her a wine glass holder that goes in your bathtub. So while you're bathing, you can set your wine there. And then she, as am I, she's a condiment junkie. Like, we love sauces. And so I got her these condiment sauce holders that clip to your air vents in your car. And they're like the perfect size of like a sweet and sour sauce holder, you know? And she called me crying. I think she was a little drunk when she opened them, but she called me crying. She said, I loved your gifts. And it, cause like I'm like, why are you crying? They're like very like novelty, I feel like. And she said, I got them on Amazon and you can like write a message. And I just said like, happy birthday, love you. And she's like, you said you loved me. And I'm like, I tell you I love you all the time. But anyways, it was cute. But I hope you had the best birthday, Lacey. Which, if you're a regular listener, she's actually been on here. It's been like over a year and a half, but she's been on here before. Okay, so next I wanted to highlight, like I told y'all, I'm obsessed with TikTok. So I thought I would highlight my little TikTok of the week. It's my favorite page. And she's probably on Instagram as well, but so her page is at Carissa A. Stevens, and Carissa is spelled K-A-R-I-S-S-A. And what she does is, she has like 2.9 million followers now, or 2.4, but she gained a bunch of popularity because she would she would buy fast food and play it off as home cooking to see how her boyfriend would react. And her boyfriend's like the most wholesome guy ever. And so it would just be like a Chick-fil-A sandwich or Domino's pizza. And he's just like loving it. He's like, oh my God, you're so good. But then, so she did a whole bunch, but then now she's switching it up. And her page is really good to like really go through it. Now she's masquerading home cooking as fast food. So, which it sounds stupid, but it's pretty funny because she's putting in all this time and effort and then just saying, yeah, I just picked it up. But like the last one I just saw, like, you know, just like, you know, sauteed like chicken, got sour cream to put like on the side, and like bought like the bowl, the Chipotle bowls, and said she picked up Chipotle, but it took her like an hour to make it. I don't know. So check her out. It's Carissa A. Stevens, all one word, on TikTok. Some other interesting news. So they found a new host for Jeopardy, but this is more like, sorry, I want to preface, this is more my, we'll say, somewhat nerdier side of news. They found a new host for Jeopardy. I forgot to write his name down, but if you want to Google it, he was someone who wasn't really anyone. I think he just was on the cusp of like celebrity stuff, but show 10 days in, he would, I guess he, they say step down, but I feel like no one really like steps down from that gig. They're like, either you leave or we're gonna fire you, sort of thing. So then you can spin it how you want. But I guess some podcast, he had a podcast, and it wasn't really popular, but it was on like on the platform like Podbean, and like this stuff surfaced where he, I guess, talked shit about women, said some racist shit, and then I guess he blatantly said how he hates trivia and like doesn't know anything, which the irony alone, you know. So they are currently looking for a new host, which I wish they would just go with Meredith Vieira, right? When she did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I fucking loved her, but maybe she doesn't want to do it because, you know, I heard they have to tape like 8 episodes in one day. Sounds like a lot. Let's see. I just finished Sharon Stone's book, The Beauty of Living Twice. Super depressing, but that bitch has lived a life, and she sounds phenomenal, though. I did the audiobook. So if anyone's a big, but that's the thing, if you want to read or listen to it for like juicy Hollywood inside stuff, she really doesn't do that. She talks about a couple of her biggest movies, like Basic Instinct, Total Recall, that she was in. But she doesn't really, it's mostly just like her personal life, which it's dark. It's just not the most hunky-dory of situations. Let's see. I found this book series that a lot of you fellow losers might enjoy. I haven't started it yet, but it's a whole series of books. It's called The Villains, and each one, it's the origin story of each villain from Disney movies. So the evil stepmother, why she became the evil stepmother, Ursula, the Beast. I mean, when I say villain, you kind of know. I feel like y'all get it. But it's by Serena Valentino, which is like might be the sexiest name. That can't be a real name, because that's not even Serena Valentino. Like, come on. Like, was she like a stripper superhero? I fucking love it. Okay, there's a new movie coming out, Spencer, which is about Princess Diana, right? Or Princess Diane. Did I say that right? Played by Kristen Stewart. I don't know if anyone else is... This is on your radar, but I was kind of shocked by it. I don't see Princess Diana as Kristen Stewart. And then I wanted to make a confession. I, like, know nothing about Princess Diana, but, like, a lot of people say she's, like, a gay icon. So I think the next book I'm going to go into, I need to find, DM me on my Instagram, at Butterbeard, or on Facebook, or wherever. Maybe, like, if you guys have seen a good book or a documentary about her, because, like, I know there's a lot out there, but I would like to learn more and why she's such a badass. Let's see. I found a new podcast this week called Smartless Podcast with Jason Bateman from Arrested Development and Will Arnett from Arrested Development. And, oh my God, why can't I think of his name right now? This is why I should have written it down. Wait one sec. Let me look it up. He's gay. Sean Hayes. Shit. He's like literally the gayest. Sean Hayes. It's the three of them. I listened to the one today with Octavia Spencer. It's really good. They're really funny. And, well, just Octavia Spencer, am I right? I wish she would start a fucking podcast. Let's see. In the video game world, I've been into my Switch lately. The kind you play. I've been playing the Ace Attorney games. I don't know if anyone's played them. So they're like, you're a lawyer. And it's like very cartoony. And the trials you're doing are like silly. Like I was trying to like solve this. Like prove my innocence because they thought I murdered someone. But really someone like tripped over their cat. But there was still more to it. It wasn't just that. But they're really cute and easy to play. So if anyone's looking for just like a chill play with a friend, kind of watch a silly story type game, they're the Ace Attorney games. And then on the way for this next week, I have the new Pokemon Snap game coming, which if anyone's familiar, it's like you capture Pokemon, but only pictures of them. So you're like on a safari and then you take photos and then you get points based on the good photos. Let's see. Now more poppy news. Kanye West he's removing West from his last name. And then I guess he's changing. So his last name will just be Ye, like Y-E. So yeah, he will no longer be Kanye West. He'll just be Kanye. And then another stupid twist on that story. Kim Kardashian West, she will not be dropping West from her name, as is her right, as his ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife. Because she probably just likes the way her name sounds, like Kim Kardashian West. And actually, she has her whole makeup line, I guess, is KKW. So, ooh, excuse me, folks. Those Trulies are getting to me. So that's stupid. I saw this article with this. So there's this website called Overemployed where they give tips and tricks on how to, so many, I don't work remotely. I'm a chemist. So I'm, you know, like I need to work in a lab, but a lot more people are working from home. So overemployed, they give tips and tricks for people. So I guess it's becoming a thing where people are, sorry, I just completely lost my train of thought. They have more than one job. So I think it's overemployed.com. So people who just cram all their work into like shorter windows and just have like two full-time jobs instead. So if you think, one of the things I saw in there, it's like getting the ego out where you think you work so hard 40 hours a week. Like, think about, like, the time you're bullshitting. Or some of the people were saying they would overperform at one job and, you know, barely get, you know, just get the actual, just a little bit raise. And not really, you know, not a jump in income or anything. So instead, they're like, okay, I'll just work normally at two jobs then and make double what I make right now, as opposed to like killing yourself over one job, which, hey, if all the work's getting done, you know, who's to say? I can't do it. So, you know, the hundreds of you who listen, go out and make some money and give me a kickback. And speaking of online sites, so what I said, if you listened to last week, just fucking take it back. OnlyFans, as I said last week, they made an announcement. They're removing all sexual explicit content. So you could still post nudes or whatever, but you couldn't take a video of you like masturbating or having sex or whatever, which is what a lot of it was. And, you know, it's a $1 billion company. They said at October 1st, they were taking all that down, so you couldn't do it. Well, they've already lost so much business and so much backlash, they're taking it back. They're not doing it anymore. It's going to stay the same. But now a bunch of content creators are complaining, and I don't know if they're going to try suing or something, because they've already lost so much business just from the announcement, like these personal creators. But I don't know if they can actually do anything about it, because like the platform can choose to do whatever they want. But anyways, I just thought it was like fascinating. Another stupid kind of poppy news. The band Nirvana, who they have like the infamous CD or album cover of the naked baby floating in water or whatever. Well, that guy's 30 years old now, that baby is, and now he's suing the estate of, God, people are gonna kill me if I get his name wrong, is it Kurt Cobain? Because the parents never like signed anything for them to use the baby picture, and you know, obviously the baby didn't give permission, so that baby is now suing for $150,000 and saying it's, you know, unauthorized child pornography. But then I also read something where that same grown-up guy, for like an anniversary cover, he posed nude again, like in the same pose as he was as a baby on that cover. So I don't know, but I mean, I guess maybe now is regretting it more. Very strange. But yeah, let's see. Yeah, so anyways, I thought I would go over this article, and I was going to highlight it, but I might just, and then I was going to like post the link or just tell you guys the link, but I don't know. When I listen to podcasts, I like doing other stuff, so I figured I would just like read pretty much the article, which isn't that long, and I'll try to skip all the boring stuff. But, so it's called What Makes a Person Creepy and What Purpose Do Our Creep Detectors Serve? A Psychologist Explains. This is written by Julia Shaw. It was a TED Talk, and I got it from ideas.ted.com under the science category. So, let's delve into this. Researchers have identified many things like unpredictable laughter, pale skin, unkempt hair, that's me pretty much, that people tend to find unsettling in others. But also realize this, we humans are pretty poor judges of who we trust, says psychologist Julia Shaw. We sometimes use terms that ascribe negative traits to people we don't know, such as, that guy is creepy, what a weirdo, she's freaking me out. I almost said she's eating me out. That creeps me out. But if we stop and think for a minute, what actually is creepiness? Do people know when they are creepy? Are you creepy? Until recently, there was no science to help us understand creepiness. Then in 2016, Francis McAndrew and Sarah Kenke of Knox College in Illinois published the first empirical study on the subject because they wanted to put their fingers on this elusive concept. They said that being creeped out is the result of an inbuilt threat detector, a detector that lets us know something is off by giving us feelings of confusion, unpleasantness, or just the chills. But if creepiness is a threat detector, what is it warning us about? To discover what people interpret as creepy, McAndrew and Kenke asked 1,300 participants to consider this scenario. Okay, so think about this, guys. Think of a close friend whose judgment you trust, and imagine they just met someone for the first time and they tell you the person is creepy, or the person was creepy. Participants then rated the likelihood of that person. Participants then rated the likelihood that the person had any of 44 behavior patterns or characteristics, physical characteristics. So I'll just go through them. So overall, almost 95% of participants stated that men were more likely to be creepy than women, which, agreed, myself included. So then participants rated the following as the most likely characteristics of a creepy person. Number one, the person stood too close to your friend. So remember, like, it's the friend saying they met this person and what made them creepy. Number two, the person had greasy hair, me. Number three, the person had a peculiar smile, same. Number four, the person had bulging eyes. Five, the person had long fingers. Six, the person had unkempt hair, like, leave me the fuck alone. Seven, the person had very pale skin, me. 8, the person had bags under his or her eyes. Fuck off. 9, the person was dressed oddly. I really have to consider this in my dating life. Like, 10, the person licked his or her lips frequently. 11, the person was wearing dirty clothes. 12, the person laughed at unpredictable times. I really almost tried making myself do my fake laugh, but I was so embarrassed just now, I like almost peed a little bit. 13, the person made it nearly impossible for your friend to leave the conversation without appearing rude. 14, the person relentlessly steered the conversation towards one topic. Which I guess that's like, I don't really know. Like, maybe if they kept like, yeah, like the my trunk is messy. Like, don't, no one wants to see my trunk. Do you want to see my trunk? I don't really know how else that one would take it. Anyway, so those were like the top 14, like, creepy reasons. And then it goes on to say, there were many other characteristics associated with creepiness. These included being extremely thin, not looking your friend in the eye, asking to take a picture of your friend, watching your friend before interacting with them, asking for details about your friend's personal life, being mentally ill, talking about their own personal life, displaying inappropriate emotion, being older, and steering the conversation towards sex. What's more is certain jobs set off people's creepiness radar. Which, I mean, I'm a chemist. Is that... I guess that might be a little creepy. Because I always get the, are you going to drug me joke? And it's like, no, I'm drugging myself. Thank you. just kidding. Well, I guess with the truly right now. But anyways, so according to participants, the creepiest professions are in this order. Clown, which, hey kids, we all act like clowns sometimes in that dating world, am I right? A taxidermist, a sex shop owner. I feel like that's not even that weird anymore. And then a funeral director. Number one least creepy profession, meteorologist. So, those weathermen out there, which I almost dated a weatherman once, not gonna lie. Let's see. On top of these factors, it's believed that creepy people don't have insight into their own creepiness. In fact, 59% thought that creepy people don't know they are creepy. And most thought that creepy people cannot change their creepiness. In general, the creepy characteristics tapped into three core factors. They make us feel fearful or anxious. Creepiness is seen as part of the personality of the individual rather than just their behavior. And we think they may have a sexual interest in us. While they may not be overtly threatening, individuals who display unusual patterns of nonverbal behavior, odd emotional responses, or highly distinctive physical characteristics are outside of the norm and by definition unpredictable. This may activate our creepiness detector and increase our vigilance as we try to discern if there is in fact something to fear or not about the person in question. In other words, creepiness may be our reaction to not knowing whether we should be scared of someone. Now, this next part's juicy. But can we really tell from a brief encounter whether someone is trustworthy or whether they're likely to hurt us? We make our judgments about trustworthiness within 39 milliseconds of seeing a face. One of the author's favorite but tiny studies, so this was a very small study, but it's still interesting, on whether we can accurately judge a person by their face comes from a 2008 paper from Stephen Porter and colleagues at Dalhousie University in Canada. Participants were asked to rate 34 photos of adult male faces on trustworthiness, kindness, and aggressiveness. Half of the photos were trustworthy people, and the other half were untrustworthy. And the photos in the two groups were matched in terms of facial hair, expressions, and ethnicity. The trustworthy people, I'm putting that in quotes, the people who they called the trustworthy people, had either received a Nobel Peace Prize or the Order of Canada, which is similar, for their devotion to humanity, peace, and society. The untrustworthy photos were men from the America's Most Wanted list. They were all people eluding justice for extremely serious crimes. The authors wrote, in the unlikely event that a participant recognized a face, they were to tell the experimenter, but that didn't happen. No one recognized any of them. Like, y'all don't know any Nobel Peace Prize winners, I guess, except for, well, do I know any? Obama, didn't he win? Yeah. Anyways. Okay. So in this experiment, in this experiment, participants did slightly worse than if they'd flip a coin. They correctly identified 49% of the wanted criminals as untrustworthy. So they saw about half of the America's Most Wanted people as creepy, but the other half, they did not. They thought they were trustworthy. However, they were slightly better with the Nobel laureates, rating them as trustworthy 63% of the time. The author concluded that to make their judgments, people were looking for signs of kindness or aggressiveness in the faces of those they were evaluating. Tying together the original creepiness study and the Nobel laureate study, a 2017 paper found again that creepy people were generally thought to be lanky men with poor hygiene who behaved awkwardly. The Canadian research also tested 15 photos from the Nobel laureate study to learn about trustworthiness. One important feature is attractiveness. Attractive people, this is why no one fucking trusts me, attractive people were deemed to be trustworthy, be they Nobel laureates or criminals. This is an example of the halo effect, a deeply rooted bias where we assume that people who are more attractive are generally more trustworthy, ambitious, healthier, etc. And it has a flip side. The devil effect leads us to believe that people who are undesirable in one way are likely undesirable in other ways. According to other studies, people who are perceived as unattractive are, on the whole, less likely to get good jobs and get reasonable health care. In a study the author did in 2015, they found that unattractive and untrustworthy-looking people were convicted of crimes by mock jurors with less evidence, and they were less likely to be exonerated after evidence that proved their innocence. Other researchers have found that having an untrustworthy face makes it more likely you'll be given a harsher criminal sentence, such as the death penalty. There's one particular facial feature that we zoom in on when assessing strangeness. In McAndrew and Kenke's study, 80% of participants said creepiness was all about the eyes. Thank God people say I have kind eyes, right? Am I right, guys? The researchers went on to conclude that definitions of creepiness tended to revolve around the theme of differentness, they call it. Whether it's from birth, injury, or botched surgery, most of us don't choose to have creepy faces. Yet we know that humans have long abused people who look different. Why does this happen? Well, there is a basic evolutionary argument that deformities and asymmetry can be signs of genetic disease and weakness. We are naturally averse to disease, an aversion to which we partly owe our survival. So we gravitate to those who look fertile and healthy, and we shy away from those who might infect us. Ayo. I don't know why I said that. But while this might help explain why we avoid certain people, it doesn't explain why we might also act cruelly towards them. One argument that explains the cruelty that the author finds compelling has to do with our perception of faces in pieces, it's called. They did a study in 2017 where they argued that the way we perceive faces can result in dehumanizing the person. If we perceive a face where nothing stands out, we take it all in at one time. So we perceive the person as a whole. So if someone has a, they're saying if someone has a completely symmetrical face, if they look like generally attractive, we look at them as a whole. And then, so we look at them as a whole human being right from the get-go. Now, as soon as something captures our attention by being abnormal, we start to deconstruct the face, and then we deconstruct the person. We see the deformity, the irregularly spaced eyes, the funny nose, the acne, and we stop seeing the face as a human whole. This, the author says, enables the infliction of harm, such as harsh punishments. Our perception can play a trick on us and lead to perceptual dehumanization. Even though creepiness is the result of a system that is trying to keep us safe, it is poorly calibrated. We misidentify Nobel laureates as notorious offenders. We think that people are creepy because they deviate from the norm in looks, mental health, behavior, and interests. So how do we combat this? Be aware that this can happen and stop and think if our first reaction to someone is that they are creepy, then go ahead and chat with that person who has a neck tattoo, hire the woman with acne, and educate kids not to stare at the person with a facial deformity. Well, so once again, I got this on, you can see it. It's the, her, so she actually gave a TED talk. So if you also want to just like watch that, it's, and not hear my voice, it's called Time to Rethink Evil. I think you can find it on YouTube. It's the TED Oxford talk, by Julia Shaw. But yes, so that was a little long, but I thought it was such a cool article to go through. So you'll have to let me know what y'all think, and get back to me. But yeah, with that, that ends this week's episode. And follow me on Instagram at Butterbeard. And also, take a look at the Master Bates clothing line at master-bates.myshopify.com. And look at some of my new designs and tell me what you guys like. But I hope you all have a fabulous weekend. And don't let your pussy willows. Okay, thanks. Bye.